on. So I'm pleased to talk with you today about the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program. My job is to give you a brief overview and to share the background of the program. I do have a couple disclosures. One is where we mentioned I'm chair of the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program Coordinating Committee that is created as part of the Deepwater Horizon Medical Benefits Class Action Settlement, which was approved by the U.S. District Court in New Orleans on January 11, 2013 and became effective on February 12, 2014. In that role, I'm an independent contractor to BP. The implementation of the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program is coordinated by the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program Coordinating Committee. And that committee consists of representatives from each of the four projects. You'll learn more about those projects today, as well as three independent members, of which I am one. Our other two of the speakers who will follow me are also external members. And as Maureen mentioned, I do operate a consultancy called Community Health Cooperative. I'm just told I have to also disclose that to you. I also have to read our funding acknowledgement statement. The Gulf Region Health Outreach Program was developed jointly by BP and the Plaintiff Steering Committee as part of the Deepwater Horizon Medical Class Benefit Action Settlement, which was approved by the U.S. District Court in New Orleans on January 11, 2013 and became effective on February 12, 2014. The outreach program is supervised by the court and is funded with $105 million from the medical settlement. Now we can talk about the fun part, which is this work. I'm a New Orleans native, and so this work is important to me for personal reasons. Professionally, it's a great project, but personally, being someone who decided to become a physician and to do public health because of the health disparities that I saw growing up here in the Gulf region, this work is incredibly important to me. As you know, poor health and health disparities have historically plagued communities living on the U.S. Gulf Coast. States in the Gulf Coast have consistently been at the bottom of health rankings. We all know them. You don't need me to read them to you, but particularly as they relate to chronic diseases, which are frequently exacerbated during disasters and other acute periods in people's lives. These types of things, as well as overall poverty, lack of resources, et cetera, have contributed to a compromised structure of the public health system in the Gulf region. And these are longstanding problems that existed prior to Hurricanes Katrina and Rita and prior to the oil spill. But, of course, these problems were exacerbated and are highlighted by disasters. The health status of populations frequently is not a consideration at all after an oil spill. And that's one reason we're particularly excited to share with you today about this outreach program, because this was an instance in which the public health of these communities was actually considered. Certainly other components of the medical settlement focus on individuals, but this program focuses on communities and emphasizes a public health approach. Many of the conditions vulnerabilities of the Gulf region were intended to be addressed by things like the Affordable Care Act. But as you know, Medicaid has not been expanded in the states that are a part of this program, so Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. It's another reason why this work is so incredibly, incredibly important. Medicaid expansion, as well as other vulnerabilities in the public health system, continue to be a great concern in the states. And we hope that as you learn more about our program, you will understand how our program attempts to address these. The Gulf Region Health Outreach Program is a series of four integrated, five-year programs designed to strengthen health care in certain Gulf Coast communities in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. Here you see listed the states as well as the counties that are targeted here. I won't read them for you because they're certainly a mouthful, but we did want to share that with you. It's intended particularly to impact areas in which there are large numbers of uninsured and medically underserved people. The program consists of four projects. You'll hear about each of those projects today, and they are intended to build the capacity of primary care and community health clinics in the region. That's our primary care capacity project. To increase mental and behavioral health expertise of health professionals in the targeted communities, and increase awareness by local communities and mental and behavioral health issues. That's our mental and behavioral health capacity project. To increase environmental health expertise of health professionals in the targeted communities, as well as the health literacy of local communities. That's our environmental health capacity and literacy project. And then also to train community health workers who will help residents navigate the healthcare system and access needed care. The two speakers who will follow me immediately will talk with you in more detail about the primary care capacity project and the environmental health capacity and literacy project. So I'll talk a little bit for you about the other two. And I do want to try to go quickly because I think one thing that will benefit us most is for us to have some time to discuss and answer your questions. Here we have a listing of the partners that collaborate with this project. One thing that's incredibly impressive is that, you know, it spans the Gulf region and the coastal areas that are impacted by the storms, and it involves a community-based organization as well as a variety of academic partners. I've listed them here for you, but as I list them, I'd like the representatives from the projects who are here to please stand so that you can see them. The Alliance Institute, Louisiana Public Health Institute, Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center, Tulane, please stand. Partners? Yeah. Tulane University, University of South Alabama, University of Southern Mississippi, and University of West Florida. I do want you to see these individuals because, you know, the work that they do is incredibly important. And also, as you inquire, because we want to have a really great discussion. If there's a question that I think that are better suited for them, I'm going to take the chair's privilege and toss that question over to them. It's the fun part about being chair of the committee. But I do want you to see them. And the Alliance Institute works in cooperation with the outreach program to coordinate our community involvement. It was really incredibly important to us that the community voice be present in this work. Of course, this is APHA, so I don't have to preach to the choir about that, but that's incredibly important. And within that, the Alliance Institute actually contracts with community-based organizations that are on the ground in the areas impacted in order to pull them in and to involve them in the integration of this work. So I like to share this diagram. I think, Maureen, maybe you put this one together. So I guess I should have asked your permission before I put it in here. But again, chair's privilege, right? And so Bernie, who will speak a little bit later, talks a lot about resilience. Hopefully you may have caught his presentation earlier today. But I love this diagram because it shows that the base of our work is really enhancing primary care infrastructure, but that the remaining, and that's through the primary care capacity project, but that the other three projects are really based upon that infrastructure. And again, as you hear more about the PCCP or Primary Care Capacity Project, you'll understand more about that. But because it works with federally qualified health centers and really works to provide resources to strengthen their work, it's really quite easy to integrate the work of our community health workers, our environmental and occupational health program and specialists, and our mental behavioral health work into that infrastructure. That was done intentionally because this work is not designed to reinvent or recreate the wheel. Again, it is to enhance existing infrastructure. These funds are time limited. They'll be here for a distinct time period again. However, we really want to enhance what's there so that it will continue to be there. As you'll hear a bit more later, the technical assistance, education, and other resources that promote connectedness of existing resources, connectedness to the community, again, we believe will create a very strong net that will continue to enhance care and grow in the region as time progresses. You also see that the Alliance Institute is placed very strategically along the side because of the integration of its work throughout the programming. So now I'd like to just share a little bit about the Mental and Behavioral Health Capacity Project. It's a $36 million project that's implemented by a coalition of academic institutions. This is really important to understand because although it's one project, it actually has components in each of the four states. So in Louisiana, it's the Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center. In Mississippi, the University of Southern Mississippi, the University of South Alabama, and Alabama, and the University of West Florida. Each of the programs has its own unique traits. But one thing that's quite impressive is that even though you've got psychiatrists at LSU who are working with their faculty of psychiatrists as well as psychologists, medical students, residents, interns, etc. You've got social workers in other projects and psychologists in other projects who are really working together, integrating their care, and sharing their expertise across the program. That's one thing that I find particularly rewarding for the program. So, you know, involving so many different disciplines within mental health really mirrors what actually happens in real life. And so that is, again, another strength of the program to really reinforce and to reinforce each other's work and to allow the work to grow. So what is it that they're doing? They're actually providing mental and behavioral health services in the clinical setting. One of their goals is to actually integrate themselves into federally qualified health centers. There are some billing considerations that they are working with so that as billing gets worked out and is being worked out, that the clinics see the benefit of having these services, are able to be reimbursed for them, and so the services will be sustained. It's a wonderful approach. They're also working in schools. As you know, schools don't have the mental health resources that are needed, and so they're doing really great work in each of the states to work with schools and to provide needed care there. Again, they're enhancing and advancing models of integration with federally qualified centers as well as school systems. And this is designed to create a one-stop shop so that patients can come into one place that they identify as their place where they receive medical services and also receive mental and behavioral health services. This is a photo of some folks who are trained to reach out as peer health advocates. This is a component of our community health workers training project. This project has $4 million of funding. It's established at the University of South Alabama. They train community health workers, which we know many folks here are familiar with, using lay people who are tapped into their community to make sure that they are aware of resources that are available, both as it relates to education, finances, et cetera, multiple components of the healthcare system, and to actually work within federally qualified health centers as well as community-based organizations to provide support to consumers and patients alike. The project has also expanded to do a peer health advocate program. Here they train volunteers. So people who are actually employed at the federally qualified health centers who already have jobs so that they can actually expand their roles in those centers and provide some of the similar services. The peer health advocate training is much shorter than the community health worker training. And again, these folks are volunteers in the fact that they are already employed by the clinic and are doing this as an additional role. They are trained on mental and behavioral health techniques that include peer listening, environmental health networking approaches, as well as primary care capacity. You'll see that I also have Tulane University's logo here because Tulane does a great job in working with USA to provide the environmental health training as well as to find placements for community health workers. There is an RFP process in which FQHCs and CBOs apply for competitive funding to actually hire community health workers. And so that's another wonderful part about that. Again, the educational resources relate to community partnerships, faith-based and nonprofit community organizations, healthcare providers, and community leaders. It's really a great way to pool all of these resources so that communities are aware of the types of things that are available. I did mention I was going to try to go quickly, so I'm going to end here. I do want to share with you the information for our website. Please check us out. The program website is grhop.org. There you will find information about each of the projects, and we hope that that will supplement the information that you hear today. You'll see that many of the projects have individual websites. You can go to their websites through links to find out more information about the program. There's also another resource that's our library. So the abstracts that we present, papers that we present, as we're permitted, we actually post them there. You'll find... Sorry, I didn't realize that was on. That was my timer to tell me to stop. But you can find the information there, the posters that we present, as well as the abstracts and papers. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.